Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Teron Davenport, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2 on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Corey, good morning. How are you doing?
I am utterly spectacular. How are you fellas today?
We are also doing very well. I don't know if we're utterly spectacular, but we're doing very well.
Supremely spectacular. You know, as soon as I heard Rex Road wasn't in the building, I was like, this is going to be a good one.
Brought in the pro this morning. Get a little TD action in here.
That's right, you know.
So, Corey, we were talking a few minutes ago about a really intriguing situation in San Francisco. So, Brandon Ayuk is under his fifth-year option, and there's all kinds of scuttlebutt going around about him right now as to whether or not he's going to be back next year and whether or not the 49ers can pay him a long-term deal. Obviously, a connection between Carthon and Ayuk and his familiarity with him there with the 49ers. So, if he becomes available, how much interest would be there from your perspective on Brandon Ayuk via trade to come join the Titans?
Well, I mean, I'm interested because I'm interested in good players, and he's a good player. And I think he fits, well, I mean, he fits kind of what this team has been, and that's, you know, physical, you know, and strong, and he's a team guy, you know. So I think he fit a lot of those characteristics. You know, we'll see what Brian Callahan and they all want. The thing that I get angst about is when you dabble in this type of deal, it's like losing two players because you're going to trade, and so you're going to lose a player or two in the draft, and then you're paying on top of it. So you're losing a draft pick and you're paying. So it's like you're double damned on this one. You know, because the whole thing about draft picks is those are the guys that balance your salary cap. Those are the guys that you've got for at least 4 or 5 years. And a lot of times with these free agent deals, you don't even see guys to the end of the free agent deal because the way it's structured, they get cut after 3 years or whatever. And so, you know, that's, you know, the long-term projection of it is my concern in a trade. But he's a very good player. And I never have a hard time adding really good players to your football team.
Well, you mentioned free agency. You mentioned the draft. How would you go about addressing the receiver position? Do you think they should go heavy free agency with some of these guys available, or do you think they should lean more on the youth movement and get some draft picks in a group that's very, very deep at the position?
Well, I mean, I think they've got to get somebody in the draft. Like you said, it's a deep group, and they need to get some speed, in my opinion. I could be wrong about that,
No, you're right.
I think they need to get some speed at that spot, and if they could be young, I'm not one who wants to throw Treylon Burks out with the trash. I want to see what he's got still. He has shown glimpses of being a talented football player, and I'd like to see if he can stay healthy. And in an offense that's going to throw the ball over 30 times a game, you know, I think there's going to be opportunity there for him. So, look, if the price was right, you know, and I could get a dude, you know, of course I'm going to look at it. I'm more likely to draft relatively high, round one or two, depending on how things fall, and then go out and get a Boyd or somebody like that, more of a second tier free agent who can help me.
Corey, everybody's talking about left tackle, obviously deservedly so, and the Titans are going to have to address that. Wide receiver, I would agree, they're going to have to address. You know, there's a lot of holes on this team, which is why they're picking where they are in the draft.
Yep.
Where does right tackle fall in line with your priority list this offseason in terms of, obviously, it's been a revolving door there. Chris Hubbard was okay before he got hurt there. Nicholas Petit-Frere is, you know, before the suspension last year, who you projected as the long-term starter there. He did not play well when he was in there this year, and then he got hurt. So, how do you view where they are with right tackle right now, and how much of a priority is that for you this offseason if you're Rand Carthon?
Well, it's interesting because the tackle positions have become a little more melded to me because of how many teams have good pass rushers on both sides. You can't treat that position like you used to, where you just kind of used to put a run mauler over there, because now they single that dude out. And, you know, like I said, most teams have two edge rushers and not one. So I do think you need a bit of a priority on it. But I do think they got to get the left side right first. And I say that because you've got Skoronski over there. If you can get the left side nailed down at the tackle spot and you get a center, you know you're in a good spot. And so then you can ask Bill Callahan to make it happen at right tackle. He's got what? He's got Petit Frere. He's got Dylan Radins. He's got Jalen Duncan.
Yep.
He's got some bodies over there to work with. You've got another draft. You've got another free agent class. We've seen other teams bring in guys. The Texans brought in George Fant. They paid a little more for him than the Titans were willing to, and that seemed to work out for them. And other teams have brought in guys a little bit later at that spot. I think that's the spot I'm going to lean more on Bill Callahan to say, we will spend the money on the left side. We need you to be the man on the right side. You got to make this happen for us.
Where do you fall to marry both of these concepts we talked about, the receiver and the O-line? Where do you fall on that Joe Alt, Olufoshanu versus Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers conversation?
Well, this is one where, I'm the oldest guy in the room. I'm 53 years old. I'm from Chicago. I'm black and blue division. So I used to always be offensive line, offensive line, offensive line, offensive line. I try not to be a dinosaur, okay? I try to evolve in my thinking. And I am much more open to taking a guy who, if I think he is a game changer at wide receiver, then I will do that. If he's truly special, I'm going to do that and go get a tackle in round two. Look, you've got to look at your board and see what's going to be there or believe what you believe is going to be there. And is it going to work out? If you're going to get, and again, this is the best receiver of all time, if you're going to get Jerry Rice, you're going to go get Jerry Rice. If you're going to get Justin Jefferson, you're going to get Justin Jefferson. I mean, nobody's barking at the Bengals for taking Ja'Marr Chase anymore.
So, Malik Nabers, Odunze, are these guys you take over Joe Olufoshanu?
You know what? I'm gonna pass on that because I'm not smart enough. I will trust your opinion. I will trust Rand's opinion on that. Would I scoff at taking one of those two guys over Joe Alt? No, I don't think I would. I think both those guys are really good.
Very good.
I don't know if it'll work out, but look, Joe Alt's like 6'8", 330, and moves really well. But we've seen it before.
Hey, listen, Joe Alt, you tell him, hey, brother, you're going to line up right next to Peter Skoronski. He's going to be run left for the next 10 to 15 years. That's what you say, man.
That's what I'm saying. You get that left side. You get that hammered out, then you know what it's like when you have a corner who can shut down half the field.
Yep.
You only got to coach half the defense. You just let Deion cover the other side of the field.
You got it.
And when you – like when Taylor Lewan was in his prime – and he could handle Khalil Mack, and he could handle Von Miller. It was such a prize for this team because they didn't have to park tight ends next to him. They didn't have to chip. They just said, Taylor, go get him. Mm-hmm. And Taylor was able to do that, and they were able to help rookies like Jack Conklin, and they were able to help on the interior, when they had, guards that were, kind of second-tier players. And so if you have that left side hammered out like that, yes, you're going to run, but in pass protection, you're good. You guys are it. Or we're going to worry about the right side. You guys have got the left locked down. And there's a whole lot that's beneficial to that, to your quarterback, just like there is to a receiver. So, again, you grade them out and you say which one is better. And I will trust them on which one is better, and then we'll see if they're right or wrong. Because I'd be like, you got to get the offensive line right, and I still believe that largely. But I can be talked into a receiver without question. It's too much of a passing league, and if you don't have guys now who can get separation, which I've watched for years, it really, really hurts you.
So Corey, obviously a lot of this conversation heads into those decisions, right? And what Rand Carthon does this offseason and whether or not they pick the right guys. Having said that, just purely on the Levis front, as you watched him play in his first year, now heading into his second year, What do you think needs to improve the most? Like, where are you looking to see Will Levis take that next step heading into next year?
Well, I mean, I think number one, it helps if he can drop back there and not worry about getting killed in 2 seconds.
That would be great.
I think that would help him, you know, develop, you know, his ability, you know, to, you know, do all the things a quarterback's supposed to do, go through his reads, blah 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 blah. You know, look, he's going to learn through experience. You know, his accuracy can be a little bit better, and I think that comes with time and timing with his receivers as much as anything. Because remember, he was rolling third string for quite a bit of the time. So, you know, give him a full offseason with these guys, I think that will help his accuracy, you know, as well. And I think also getting to throw the ball more. I mean, you know, I don't know how much they're going to throw the football. I know Joe Burrow throws it a ton. And so I'm looking forward to not seeing 24 passes a game. I'm looking forward to seeing well over 30. And I think, you know, having that experience, I think getting in that rhythm, I think those will all help him grow. I mean, listen, you know, the compete level is there. The athleticism is there. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to, you know, he's got to be more accurate, and he's got to have some guys to help him out a little bit more too. I think there's no question about that, you know, whatsoever. But I don't know what you guys thought. I was really interested when we met Nick Holtz the other day, so we met the coordinators the other day. And by the way, Denard Wilson, I have a coaching crush on. Yep. After listening to him.
Yeah, that makes you want to run through a wall. Yeah.
Well, the moment he quoted George Patton, I'm like, I'm in. All right. If you're going to quote the modern father of tank warfare in the U.S., I'm all aboard. And I'm like, man, they did not do Nick Holtz any favors letting Denard Wilson go first.
Right.
Holy cow, he was unbelievable. But the one thing that Nick Holtz did do was he talked about Will Levis.
Yeah.
Where when Brian has talked about Will Levis, you know, he's talked in some general terms and some modest terms of liking him, and he's got talent. Nick was just like, yeah, this is why you take the job, because you really believe in this guy. And so I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I think there's a little more thought behind Will Levis. There's a little more belief behind Will Levis than maybe they had let out of the bag before. I think Nick in front of the microphone maybe got a little looser with it than they wanted to. I don't know, but it was more than I thought I'd heard before. I could have read too much into that, but I don't think I did.
Corey Curtis joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. Corey, phenomenal stuff as always. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Well, you know, when TD's in the house, I try not to embarrass myself.
Exactly.
Oh, that's it. I set the bar really low.
Well, and you did a great job of not embarrassing yourself.
Excellent work. Excellent work.
All right. Thanks, fellas. Have a great show.
All right. Corey Curtis, our guest on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll take your thoughts on what Corey had to say there. Coming up next, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're going to get into the tackle wide receiver discussion coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Appreciate Corey Curtis from News 2 for being with us in the last segment. Jerron Davenport in for Joe today. Taking your thoughts on all things Titans, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. TD, before we get into the tackle wide receiver part of this, we do have a question on the text line I want to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Says, it feels like Denard Wilson, whom I'm really excited about, wants the defense to have some interchangeable parts. Can you talk about that and the guys who you'd like to see fit that sort of mold? This is from Joe on the text line. Certainly, as Corey pointed out, I really enjoyed me some Denard Wilson in his introductory press conference last week.
Yeah, yeah. They might have to invest in a construction company over there at St. Thomas Sports Park to redo the walls, because there's going to be a lot of running through them. But no, all jokes aside, that's a good question by Joe. I asked Denard Wilson about the versatility, like how he looks at the cornerback position, especially the nickel, because you look nowadays, because there's so much 11 personnel, nickel is almost your base,
yeah,
right? So the question of, hey, do you do 3-4 versus 4-3? Hey, it's a cool question, but nickel is really where it's at. So I think the versatility is going to be something. Will Levis flexing like Incredible Hulk. I think the versatility is going to be something that is especially demanded from the secondary.
Yeah.
And you look at the safety position. He's worked with Denard Wilson. It is, you know, you're talking about Kyle Hamilton, you're talking about Jamal Adams. You look at the flexibility that Hamilton has, whereas you could drop him down in a box to match up against tight ends. He's rangy, that Eric Davis-like range in center field.
Yep.
You know, you have those things. And then you look at the nickel position, some of the cornerbacks that he's worked with. I mean, Jack Rabbit Jenkins when he was a rookie. Tremaine Adams, you look at Darius Slay, James Bradberry elevated to a Pro Bowl, our first team All-Pro. I say all that to say there's things specifically that he's going to want. You got to be able to play left, right, and nickel. And that's something that is mandatory because of how you have the group of corners and how you need to be able to rotate guys, et cetera. So I would see the versatility there. I think – they're still going to look for guys like Arden Key, like a Danico Autry, who you could literally line up anywhere in the front and even have them stand up rushers as well.
So on the tackle front, we've talked about receiver. And by the way, Michael from Madison on the text line says, I don't care about Brandon Ayuk or any of these other receivers catching skills. How well can they run block? Going back to the Vrabel days. Very well done, Michael. Well, we appreciate it. You can do it. There's no question. On the tackle front, we talked a lot about Joe Alt and Fashanu, obviously.
Yeah.
How deep do you think tackle is in this draft? And how do you view the right tackle part of this, too? We're going to get into NPF coming up specifically here in a few minutes. But how do you view where right tackle kind of falls into the things for the Titans as well?
Well, in 2021, there was a record of 7 offensive players, just period, selected in the first 10. You may have 10.
Yeah.
The first 10 picks will probably be offense. 2 of them are very likely to be offensive line.
Yeah.
Overall, you could see 8 to 9 offensive linemen go in the first round, Robbie. So it's going to be tough when you look at a team like the Titans if they don't go O-line at 7 to come back around. But, I mean, so your first round guys, Joe Alt, we talked at length about him, Olufoshanu. I would really have interest in him if I were the Titans also, just on the strength of Bill Callahan being able to get the most out of that potential. So you have those. If they were to trade back, I would say like that 15 to 25 range. If they trade back to that, I'm really eyeing Keon Coleman, the receiver out of Florida State. But you look at Tyleese Fuaga, right? 6'6", 323 pounds.
Yep.
He's more of a right tackle. And that's the thing that's could be a little bit of an issue if they trade back is that you're going to be more funneled into right tackles. I mentioned Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
They switched him over to left. He struggled a bit. Would I put him there permanently? Probably not right tackle, but he's there. You look at Amarius Mims, who he got injured last year, but good gracious, when he played, you talking about catching bodies?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't fair what he was doing. So you got that. J.C. Latham is another one. Again, it's right tackle. Troy Fatuanu is somebody out of Washington. He did play left. You have that. But if you go second round, like Patrick Paul is probably the best out of them. He's my favorite out of Houston. He's very athletic. He's 6'7", 323. He's somebody that I would look at that 38 pick. Jordan Morgan may be there, but it's interesting with him because you have a lot of the similar situations with him that you have with Peter Skoronski, where a lot of people see him as a guard.
Yeah.
I talked to him about the short arms. He was like, man, I played all my life with short arms. Like, I can do this, you know. And I hear you, but, I mean, that is something. But he would be a left tackle. Kingsley Suamaitala, I could never put those Samoan names always kill me.
Me too.
But out of BYU, you know, he's a big athletic prospect that, again, you go back to a guy like Bill Callahan and you have him work with them. Those are guys, you know, that you could get in the second round, maybe even the third. So those are things that you look at.
How big of a drop-off do you think there is after Alt and Fashanu, specifically in the first round?
Yeah, I think it's pretty significant.
Pretty significant?
Yeah, I do. So especially at the left tackle position.
I would think, and again, you can't go totally by need when you're talking about draft board, but doesn't that in the back of your mind, if you're Rand Carthon, have to influence you some of if there's that big, if you're on your board, there's that much of a difference between those two tackles and everybody else? Doesn't that have to influence the way you think to some degree?
It influences you some. I mean, they used to say there's two drafts, right? A quarterback draft and a regular draft.
Yeah.
Well, is also starting to be a protect the quarterback draft in regular draft too, you know. So you do have to consider that. I just think, you know, the left tackle position is so important because what did we talk about with Will Levis earlier? The pocket awareness.
Yep.
And the blind side, he doesn't – you can't just improve that. You know what I mean? So you have to place a priority on protecting that blind side so he doesn't get body rocked the way he did multiple times.
No question about it. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the tackle position. Should Nicholas Petit-Frere be the plan at starting right tackle for the Titans this offseason, or should they look to improve that position either via the draft or free agency? We'll get into that with TD coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Teron Davenport, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. So, TD, the fact of the matter is the Titans have so many needs this offseason that they're not going to be able to get to them all. Just from a logical standpoint, when you think about the cap space, the draft capital, all those things, and, you know, keeping in mind right now they don't have a third-round pick at the moment. So it's tough for you not to have a third-round pick. There's a lot of needs that they've got to address that it's going to be very difficult to adequately do that with all of them in one offseason. So I'm not sure exactly where right tackle falls into like the priority list. It's not above left tackle. It's not above wide receiver. It's probably not above cornerback in my mind either. So there's – and you could throw in a couple of other positions there that you could make an argument above right tackle as well. But I do wonder, you know, Petit Frere heading into last season I think was the long-term plan at right tackle. Then he gets popped for the suspension, and then he comes back and he doesn't play very well, and then he gets hurt. So he ended up playing a grand total of three games last year. Mm-hmm. So in a lot of ways it was just a completely wasted lost season from Petit Frere a year ago. Yeah. And based on what I've seen from him, and you're certainly more trained at this than I am, but what I've seen from him at this point, I have not seen a competent starting level right tackle in the NFL. So I said it earlier, and Paul Kuharsky and Joe Rexroad, I think, disagree with me a little bit, which is fine. Like, it's right tackle is up pretty high on my priority list this offseason because I think, as Corey pointed out, those two tackle spots are so important in today's NFL, with the quality pass rushers that you're dealing with coming from both sides. So my question to you is, given all the different needs that they have, should the plan be for Petit Frere to be the starter heading into camp? Or if you're Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan, do you have to some way, somehow find a way to bring in a right tackle that you feel like can compete and start for you this offseason, given all the other needs that you've got to address this offseason on the books already?
I would absolutely look at signing a free agent right tackle. And to your point, I don't think Nicholas Petit-Frere has shown anything to make you say, hey, this guy is the future. I don't think so. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I know I'm not, so you can't correct me. Yeah. But you look at Dylan Raidens also. He's an option. I think there are focus issues with both of them. Raidens with the false starts.
For sure.
And Petit-Frere, like, there are times where he just completely, like, he misses his assignment. Now, I don't know exactly what the scheme was, like, what they were being asked to do. So let me say this. I'm not going to say he just completely missed his assignment. It looked like he did.
Yeah.
So let me make that clear, because I'm not going to, you know, do that as far as, like, say a guy is right or wrong, et cetera. But I do think that there are some free agent right tackles you could sign. You mentioned George Fant earlier. He's a guy that you could bring back, right? And or not bring back, but bring in. Chris Hubbard, you could bring him back, you know. So those are options. And then even in the draft, there's guys that you could get later. The right tackle position is important, and it's more important than some people are alluding to, because you look at the great offensive lines or even the really good ones. Like, look at how the Eagles addressed it, right? Even back when they took John Runyon from here.
Yep.
It was Trey Thomas, John Runyon, bookend, nothing to worry about, right? And then they did it again, right? They drafted Lane Johnson, number 5 overall, signed Jason Peters, boom. It's something, or traded him, right? Traded for him. So you do need to address both sides of that. But free agency-wise, I mean, Fant would probably be the best option just looking at the group. He is 31. How do you get 31.6 years old? I don't know, but he's 31 years old. And I think, you know, that would be a veteran that if he doesn't start, you still will have a guy at a decent number, that we know what has happened with injuries, so you know you have that there.
So what would be more of a priority to you? Would it be addressing right tackle, or would it be upgrading at center from Aaron Brewer? What do you think of that?
That's a good question. I would probably say upgrading at center.
Okay.
And I hate to say it because, you know, Brewer is a guy that I really wanted to see work out, you know, but it just didn't seem like it's something that you know, they can move forward with.
Well, it feels like, you know, not to get all stilly on you, but it does feel like the lack of size there is a problem at times for them when you're going up against those defensive tackles mm-hmm. with Brewer. And, you know, to have somebody in there with a little bit more oomph to them feels like that could be beneficial. I would go right tackle as more of a priority than center, but I can't argue with people who go the other way. I mean, in a perfect world, you'd like to upgrade all three spots. Can you do that in one offseason? I don't
know. Here's the thing why I put center in front of right tackle. I think – so you look at Dylan Raidens. You look at Nicholas Petit-Ferrer. This is a second-round pick and a third-round pick. You look at Bill Callahan. Hey, look, man, can you get something out of these high – those are high draft picks.
For sure.
So I think, you know, you try to get something out of that and maximize what he could do there. And then the center position, you know – do you want to invest money, right? Cody White here got put on the market. He was cut. You know, do you want to invest money and sign a guy like that? Or, you know, do you want to there's a few centers out there that you could sign. And obviously in the draft, you know, a guy like Jackson Powers Johnson, JPJ, out of Oregon, at 38, you could consider it. I wouldn't go that direction, but that is something that could be on the menu.
And this is another example where maybe having a third-round pick would be Boom. A great spot to have this
yes,
year, right?
Absolutely.
Well, and, you know, another part of this equation, too, is when you look at where they're at with their offensive line, and you brought up Bill Callahan, and I'd even throw Jalen Duncan in there, too, because obviously when they took Duncan last year, like the physical traits they loved, and mm-hmm. trying to bring him along, you know, obviously he was not ready to be a starting left tackle in the league last year when they put him in here at the end of the season. It was just a revolving door, and that was bad. But can Bill Callahan, whether it's with Raidens, Petit-Ferrer, or Duncan, like to me, if he could get one of those guys to be able to play at a starting level, mm-hmm. that's a big win for this Titans team. Yeah. Because right now, I think everybody views all those guys as backups, and it's great to have some depth, and it's great to have quality options at backup that could come in at a pinch for you. But if Bill Callahan could work with one of those three, to get them to where they could play meaningful snaps for you at a decently high level, that would be great. I don't know that I'm holding my breath on that, but you do have what many people regard as either the best or in the conversation of the best offensive line coaches in the league at your disposal now.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely agree with you. It's funny. I just thought of going to the beauty salon, right? Like I would take my daughters to go, and there will be a sign on the wall that says, I'm a beautician, not a magician.
Yes.
And I think we have to be careful
yes.
to not make Bill Callahan, and I'm kind of falling into that trap of making him out to be a magician. But you look at the track record that he has, you have to believe that he can get the most out of these guys, you know. So I think the right tackle position, actually, as you mentioned, Jalen Duncan as well, that is a position I would actually absolutely put below center as far as area for improvement.
So to that point, like, do you think it makes sense to bring Aaron Brewer back and make him more of like a utility guy where he could play guard or center? How do you view the Aaron Brewer back, even if he's not going to be a starter? Part
absolutely.
Of this?
I bring him back, and you're my backup for my guard-center-guard tandem right there. One of those guys go down, boom, plug and play, and that's the way that I would do it. Go back to the role that he was when he first got here. So you have that, and, I mean, I would bring back Brunskill as well, to be honest with you, because these are two guys I think you could have at an expensive cost, and Brunskill is a excellent locker room guy, excellent locker room guy.
Yeah, for sure, and, you know, obviously – when you look at the line that didn't play well as a whole, I mean, Brunskill was not like some Pro Bowl player out there, but I thought he was fine for the most part. Mm-hmm. So, like, you can't I know everybody wants to just totally uproot the offensive line and bring in five new starters and kill with that. You can't do that in one offseason. Yeah. And I will say, like, the Bill Callahan part of this, the guy that intrigues me the most about Callahan is Skoronski. Like, working with Skoronski on a daily basis, you know, I think it's fair to say, regardless of what you thought about taking a guard at number 11 overall.
A guard?
Like, I do think you probably – you wanted to see a higher level of play from him than you saw in year one. Now, how much of that was because of what was around him? I think we're going to start to find out. But Bill Callahan working with Skoronski and the jump that he could take from year one to year two is really intriguing, especially – if you do get a guy like Joe Alt on the left side, that could be a real position of strength for you, going from real big weakness to real big strength maybe in 1 year.
Yeah. Now, let's make no mistake about it. Protecting the pocket from the interior is of the utmost importance. Look, you go to Tom Brady, you go to Drew Brees, you go to Aaron Rodgers, right? What did Aaron Rodgers always hate? That pocket being pushed back into his lap. All of the premier, they hate that. So there is a priority that you got to place on that guard, center, guard trio there. So I think that is important. And I don't think it was a bad thing to take Skoronski at 11 and play him at guard, to be honest with you.
Well, especially if he turns into a great player. And that's what you're hoping now Bill Callahan can bring out of him. I mean, obviously, the ability is there.
Yeah.
And I think everybody recognizes that. Can you bring it out of him on a regular basis? And look, you know, to me, to your point, he's not a magician. He can't work with everybody and turn them into all pros. And it comes down to the decisions that you make. But, I mean, you got to feel great about who's in charge of your offensive line now. And no disrespect to the last two guys who have been here, but I think it's at a little bit of a different level with Bill Callahan.
It is. I mean, it's just is what it is. That's the facts.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Your final thoughts on the Titans coming up next. We'll take your questions for TD on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Teron Davenport, and Nick Keys are here with you. Every time I hear this song, I think a wild thing walking out of Major
Vaughn.
League. Ricky Vaughn, here he comes. Beautiful.
Yeah.
One of the great sports movies.
They gave him some glasses, man. Yeah. All of a sudden, he could pitch.
Just a bit outside.
Yeah.
Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number. All right, so here we are. We're getting closer to free agency, TD, and there's going to be a lot of running backs scheduled to be out there. A lot of running backs either that were tagged last year that are going to be out there and available, or that are hitting free agency under their current deals. So, number one, I'm really interested to see what that does to the market as a whole. We've talked about the plight of the running back for several years now. I don't anticipate that that's changing a ton heading into the offseason. And number two, obviously, a lot of interest here in Derrick Henry and what that looks like. What do you make of, number one, the running back market, because there's a lot of quality guys out there, and number two, how that affects what the number could be and what we could see in terms of Derrick Henry, his interest level, and the number that he's offered out there.
You know, Derrick Henry remains a unicorn.
He does.
I think he is that guy that a team will invest money in. Whether it's the Titans or not, it remains to be seen. But I think Baltimore is a team you have to – Baltimore and Buffalo, these are two teams where I think they're hitting desperation levels. I think Buffalo a little more than Baltimore because John Harbaugh is a little better entrenched than Sean McDermott is. But if I'm Sean McDermott, like, I'm talking to him like, listen, man, we need – and you heard Cook, Henry and Cook talking about the wings in Buffalo where to go at the Pro Bowl. But, no, seriously, I think those are teams that could get in the way of a Titans bringing Derrick Henry back. If I'm Rand Carthon and the crew, I say to Derrick, listen, man, you know, we want you back. We have a certain number. Any offer you get, please bring it back to us. Give us a chance to match it. We may match it, but if we can, we will.
Do you think Henry, in his heart of hearts, wants to be back here as his top priority, or do you think he has reached the point where he's looking around and saying, all right, yes, I want to get paid, but I also want to go to a place where I think I can win a Super Bowl? How do you view how he kind of is approaching this free agency?
I think he's torn. Having a new coaching staff in here, I think that may push him over the edge to being willing to leave. to be honest with you, because we know his relationship with Mike Vrabel
was
extremely close. His relationship with Tony Dews, you know, even though that was the tight ends coach last year, that was very close. So you do have that. I think in the end, Henry does move on. Buffalo, Baltimore, that's where I see him going. Dallas is a pot, because you talk about desperation.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Mike McCarthy.
As desperate as it gets.
Yeah. I know that day of that game, the night of that game, I was on Sirius XM, and I'm like, hey, listen, you know what? And, you know, I'm not one to say fire the coach.
I know it.
But I said fire him.
And somehow they didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
It's still amazing to me. I mean, Henry's out there. Josh Jacobs is going to be out there. Tony Pollard.
Yeah.
Saquon. Austin Eckler. There's a lot of really intriguing names at running back. Gus Edwards from Baltimore scheduled to be out there. DeAndre Swift. Like, there's a lot of really intriguing running back names out there. And if you don't get Derrick Henry back here, like, if you're the Titans, do you have interest in one of those other guys to come in and be that complimentary piece with Spears, or is it going to be the Spears show as a full-time back?
I would consider Gus Edwards.
Yeah.
I would, because he'll be like, that's the dude, as you just say, man, run into the wall, and he'll do it. You know what I'm saying? And I would consider him for your short yardage situation. But to me, this is – I'm going to make a lot of Tennessee people happy. Jalen Wright.
He's pretty good.
Got to have him.
Yeah.
Bigger back, home run ability. He would be a perfect match to Tajay Spears. Perfect. That's who I go after.
I'm interested to see where he goes.
Like, yeah.
Where he's going to end up going in the draft. Again, another example, TD, where it'd probably be great to have a third-round pick.
Bingo. Yeah.
Like, I do. Like, and that's where the idea of, like, if Joe Alt is off the board. Like, I said it the other day. If you're the Titans, you need elite talent. Like, this roster is desperate for elite talent. Mm-hmm. So, because of that, I find it difficult to believe that they're going to trade back, even if Alt's gone off the board there, because I would think you'd still have Neighbors or Adunze or Bowers or somebody.
There's going to be an elite player.
There's going to be an elite player.
Yeah.
So I don't think you trade back when you have an opportunity to get an elite player, but the idea of getting more picks would be intriguing to me if I'm the Titans.
You only get so many more picks.
Yep.
'Cause that was the big thing coming out of the Senior Bowl is, okay, NIL is it murdered day four.
It did.
You know, or day three, rather. Like, it made the fifth round and down, like, oh. You can still draft on traits, but it's not as deep as it used to be as far as, like, you know, those juniors, they're going back.
Yep.
So you have that. But I'll say this about the third-round pick, and it would be good for the Titans to have it, but, you know, they used it to be able to up and get Levis, and I think they could be in a good situation the next 2 to 3 years at the quarterback position. So it kind of
– it evens out.
It's an opportunity cost, you know.
No question about it. TD, it's been a lot of fun, man.
Oh,
appreciate
man.
You taking time
oh,
to
man.
Be with us.
Yeah, we got to do this again.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
We'll definitely have you back in, and TD is going to be with us on Friday, as he always is, at 8 o'clock to talk shop once again. Appreciate you taking time to be with us today. Rex Road, scheduled to be back tomorrow. We'll see if he makes it back from Vegas. That's going to do it for us today. Chase and Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.